Good morning. It is so great to welcome you to Stones Hill Community Church. And I'm Pastor Joey, and it's a privilege, all of you who have showed up this morning here in our building. We're so glad you're here. You are in for a treat, and I'm so excited about you taking in this day. Those of you online, thank you so much for joining us, those on the stream. We're so glad that you're here as well. It's my privilege this morning to introduce to our congregation, someone all the way from High Peaks, Arizona, he's come all the way over to the windy, blustery Midwest, and here he is today. He's mentioned a couple times already this morning, he wishes he would have brought a toboggan, a little warmer, but we're so glad he's here. The building's warm, the food is awesome. Thank you, food services team, for pulling that together. Thank you, technological team, for making sure everything's on the up and up. And for the setup, and then most importantly, we thank the Lord for you and for what God has done and how he has spoken to us in and through his word and most powerfully in and through Jesus. And so this morning, it's my privilege to have Russ up and going here. I think he's going to share with you the topical plan for our time together today, the order in which we'll be talking about various subjects and topics. And so I think you're in for a treat. Let's pray together, and then I'm just going to turn it over to Russ, okay? All right, so Father, thank you so much for this day. Thank you for our time. Thank you for so many people who have been here early today, making sure this is a very special day. Thank you. And then we're so grateful for our speaker this morning, and we just ask and pray that you would be with Brother Russ and give him lucid thoughts and just guide him in throughout the presentation. And may he feel the love of the Lord today. May he feel the love of this community. So thank you so much in your name. Russ, we have a little cliche we say around here. You can only be a stranger once. So now you're part of our family. Well,
thank you. Thank you very much.
There we go. Short circuit between the floor and the switch back here. Anyways, hey, it's great to be here this morning. I'm going to go ahead and just get right into this. I do want you to know that this morning we're going to talk first about the importance of biblical creation to both the gospel message as well as to the freedoms that the citizens of the United States of America have enjoyed for the past 200 and almost 50 years now. The fact of the matter is, it's a foundational issue, and you're involved in the greatest world war in the history of the world. And most people don't even know what's going on, although it's getting to be more and more obvious over the past year or so. A lot of people just don't understand what's going on out there, but the fact of the matter is, you're involved in this great battle. And it's not as easy to see as a normal war because it doesn't involve bullets and bombs and nuclear-powered aircraft carriers. It's actually far more serious than that. This is the war for your eternal soul, for where you will spend eternity. It's a war that's already claimed, not millions, billions of victims for eternity. And it's being played out today in a war of worldviews. The secular or the humanist worldview versus the biblical worldview. And at a foundational level, it's the secular view based on two beliefs. Millions and billions of years of time, that's a belief, leading to Darwinian evolutionism, a second belief. Versus a biblical worldview that's based on a perfect creation that was corrupted by sin that separated us from God, requiring our redemption with God through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I'll explain those both a little more as we go through the day. In the second session this morning, for the main service message, I'm going to present our message, Noah's Ark and Dinosaurs. Dinosaurs, I use to shock people with the truth of God's Word. And the message in that is going to be that no matter what God's Word says, no matter how difficult it might be for our finite little brains to try to comprehend the creator of the universe, the message is going to be no matter what God's Word says, you can believe it, word for word and cover to cover. But let's talk about endowed by their creator to begin with. This is Karl Marx. He's known as the father of communism. He said that people without a heritage are easily persuaded. They're easily defeated. If you don't understand your country's great history, you will be easily defeated. You'll walk away from it. You won't even see any reason to stand up for it if they can make you ashamed of your own country. Does that sound like maybe what's going on today? He said the first battlefield is the rewriting of a nation's history. And my friends, over the last 30 plus years, our great Christian heritage has been pretty much erased from our nation's mindset. In fact, kids are taught through public school textbooks, which are owned by humanists. And throughout the textbooks, they imply that Christianity had little, if any, role in the founding of this nation, and that the biblical God has had no role in the successes our nation enjoyed, especially for the first 200 years of our existence. This really came home to my wife, Joanna, and I a few years ago. We were back speaking in some churches in Maryland and Virginia, and we had a day off, so we went in and took tours of the great federal institutions in Washington, D.C. And I've got to tell you, we were blown away by what we saw. Etched into the stone walls and letters up to 2 feet tall, entire biblical verses. Praises for our glorious biblical creator. Etched in precious metals and brass and gold on monuments all over federal institutions in our nation's capital. And we looked at each other and we said, our kids aren't even told this. In fact, they're told just the opposite. Our nation's history has been rewritten. It's been stolen from our children and grandchildren. Well, the Bible says my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. So over the next few moments, I want to show you that America was founded by predominantly Christian men and women on predominantly Christian principles. That biblical creation is absolutely essential to America's freedoms. And to destroy the United States of America or biblical Christianity, all you must do is destroy people's faith in the early chapters of the book of Genesis. And this is why you have seen biblical creation under relentless assault for the last 60 to 70 years. In fact, Founding Father Jedediah Moore stated, "Whenever the pillars of Christianity shall be overthrown, our present Republican forms of government must fall with them." Not might fall with them, must fall with them. And to destroy the pillars of Christianity, all you need do is destroy people's faith in the early chapters of the book of Genesis, specifically chapters 1 through 11. You see, this is where Moses, through the inspiration of God, lays down the foundation for the gospel message, specifically in Genesis 1 and 3. This is where we're told God gave us a perfect creation. Try to imagine that in your mind. I think it's beyond human comprehension. A perfect creation. No death in it. No sin. It was perfect. Hey, have you ever had someone ask you, and this is a favorite question that scoffers will use to undermine a child's faith. Have you ever heard something to the effect of, how can there be a loving God in this world full of death and suffering? Ever heard something along those lines? Absolutely. In fact, we might even have those questions ourselves if something bad happens to somebody that we love. Well, if you leave here with nothing else today, know how to biblically answer that simple question. Because today, I'd say 95% of Christians cannot biblically answer, how can we have a loving God in a world full of death? Here's the answer. It's so simple, it'll shock you. The answer is God didn't give us the world the way it is today, full of death and suffering. God gave us a perfect creation. Well, what happened to it? Adam's original sin. Adam's first sin corrupted the creation, bringing on the curse and allowing death to enter. And that's why we live in a world full of death today, but we have a loving biblical creator. Simple answer, isn't it? And it's found right there in Genesis 1 and 3. But the answer should go further than that. Not only did our sin corrupt the creation, allowing death to enter, but it also separated us from God. See, that required us to be redeemed with God. Well, we've got a problem there. We can't redeem ourselves with God. To redeem ourselves with God, we have to be absolutely sinless and righteous. And we can't do that. We've inherited Adam's sin nature. Let's be honest with ourselves. Have you ever said something that wasn't true? Even a little white lie? Well, now you're not righteous. You cannot redeem yourself with God. Have you ever taken something that didn't belong to you? Even a sticky note or a paper clip? Well, now you're a thief. I mean, we've talked about this for 10 seconds, and I think we've all admitted we're a bunch of lying thieves, right? So we can't redeem ourselves with God. So how loving is God? Despite our sin that corrupted his creation and allowed death and suffering to enter, he sent his only begotten Son to suffer and die on a cross. His perfect, righteous shed blood covering the sin of those. And all he asks is that we believe in him. He just asks us to put our faith in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. And we get to put on his righteousness and we'll be redeemed with God for eternity in heaven. Now, that's a loving God, right? And that's also the foundation of the gospel message. Now, Moses also told us through God's inspiration that God has judged man's sin once already with a flood that covered all the high hills under the whole heaven. Come on, that would be a global flood. Now, I'm going to blame this on Pastor Joey, okay? He told me to be perfectly honest with you guys. So I'm going to do that. I'm going to be perfectly honest. Is that okay? Does anyone want me to lie? Okay, then I'm going to be perfectly honest with you all through today. But keep in mind, if I say something perfectly honestly that upsets anyone, blame it on Pastor Joey, okay? You know, raise your hand again and make sure they know where to go. Okay. Let's be honest. If there had been this flood that covered all the high hills under the whole heaven, wouldn't the evidence be overwhelming? I mean, I would think, if God's word were true, and there had been this flood that covered all the high hills under the whole heaven, I would think the outer crust of the earth would have been eroded for a mile or two during the first 150 days of that global flood. And all those sediments rolling around in the waters would have been separated by grain size, weight, and density if there had really been a global flood. You ever see a miner with a pan? He scoops up some sediments and water and he sloshes it back and forth. The moving water separates the sediments in his pan by grain size, weight, and density. Gold being the densest falls to the bottom. Well, on a global scale, those sediments would have been separated by grain size, weight, and density. And over the second half of that year-long flood, they would have started laying those sediments back down. But now they're separated by grain size, weight, and density. So you have all shale sediments together, all mudstone together, all sandstone layers together. So you'd have these finely stratified layers making up the crust of the earth if there really been a global flood. And those layers laid down by water would be full of billions of things that were drowned and buried so quickly they didn't have time to rot or get beaten by scavengers. Those layers would be full of billions of dead things. So what do we find today? Well, the outer crust of the earth averages a mile deep of sedimentary layers stratified out by grain size, weight, and density. So you have all shale together, all sandstone together, all mudstone together, and those layers laid down by water are full of billions of dead things that were drowned and buried so quickly they didn't have time to rot away or get eaten by scavengers. We call those things fossils today. Exactly what would be there if God's word were true. Oh, and my friends, God's word is true. Word for word and cover to cover. You know, in the Bible, the only book in the history of the world that lives on its ability to correctly predict the future. Most religious texts will make predictions. And maybe one out of five come true and four out of five don't. The Bible is about 1800 for 1800. There is no mathematical possibility of getting 10 in a row right, much less 1,800 in a row right. It's what shows us it's the Word of God. God even says you can tell His Word from false religions by whether the prophecies come true. One of the great prophecies in the New Testament is found in 2 Peter 3, where we're told there are coming the last day scoffers. Any of you ever run into a scoffer? Turn on the news for 5 minutes, right? Excuse me, turn on the news for 2 minutes. And we see our scoffers, but we're told they're going to be willingly ignorant. They're going to choose to ignore that by the word of God, the world that was being overflowed with water perished. We're told that in the last days, scoffers will deny the global flood. Why in the world would you care about the global flood? Let me say one thing here. It is the whole linchpin in the war of worldviews. I'll show you this. Why would they deny the global flood? Well, the humanist, you could call this the secular or the atheist worldview, but the humanist worldview is based on those exact same sedimentary layers laid down by water that make up the crust of the earth. You know, Pastor Joey, people ask me all the time, hey, Russ, what evidence do you have the Bible's true? I always say I have the exact same evidence that atheists use to say it's not true. Hey, don't we all live in the same world? Don't we all have the exact same evidence? It's never been about the evidence. It's about who gets to interpret the evidence. Which worldview do you interpret the evidence through? They own the system, so they force their interpretation and teach kids as if it were science. When it's not, it's their belief. Their belief is based on those same sedimentary layers stratified out by grain size, weight, and density by moving water. They just say, hey, there was never a flood. No, no, those layers formed slowly over millions and billions of years of time. Let me ask you a question. Since science is knowledge derived from the study of the evidence, who observed those sedimentary layers laid down by water forming slowly over millions of years of time? Absolutely nobody. This is their belief being taught in the place of science. But what this does is they're teaching that you evolved all on your own through millions of years of death and suffering. Death is their hero. To the Bible, death is the enemy. In fact, 1 Corinthians 15:26 says death will be the last enemy destroyed when Jesus returns. Death is an enemy to God's world and creation. Our sin let death enter, separating us from God. But they're teaching that it was death that brought you along. Death is the hero to the plot for the humanist worldview. And see, once you put death before Adam, you can't teach Adam's sin brought in death. You see that? You can't believe death brought man along and man brought death along. You can't do them both. They're polar opposites. And this is why it's a linchpin in the war of worldviews. And it's also why most Christians can't answer the simple question, how can we have a loving God in a world full of death and suffering? You can't answer that question if you think death existed before Adam. And there's the foundational issue. Atheists have understood this all along. This from the editor of American Atheist. Destroy original sin by putting death before Adam, and in the rubble you'll find the sorry remains of the Son of God. If Jesus was not the Redeemer who died for our sins, and this is what evolution means, and old earth beliefs that put death before Adam, Christianity is nothing. And I agree with that statement 100%. He is absolutely correct. And that's why they aim at creation, getting people to think that death and suffering existed before man. Wow. So the global flood is the linchpin in the war of worldviews. Global flood wipes out the old earth beliefs and put death before Adam. And if the age of the earth is an issue for you, first of all, realize you're in the majority. It is for most people, because today everything, you notice how everything starts out millions of years and billions of years. You ever notice that? They're trying to indoctrinate you into accepting their foundation. And I cover this in our message, Top 10 Death Before Adam Beliefs. I cover carbon dating, radiometric dating, ice ages, continental drift, Pangaea, and show you how it only fits a world that's endured a global flood, and also in my book, Cost. I get a lot of weird emails. Here's one. Your attempt to convince others Darwinism isn't true is unconstitutional. It's right there in like the 99th Amendment or something. It says you're a danger to society and should be in a mental institution before you take away the freedoms given to us by our forefathers. That's almost verbatim what kids are taught today and have been for a while. And actually, if you're standing up for Jesus Christ, you're trying to preserve our freedoms, not take them away. So I thought, let's look at the fingerprint of God upon the history of the United States. Now, sad to say, by the 1700s, the Pilgrim and Puritan zeal for God had pretty much dissipated in the land that would soon become the United States. Now, the people still held to that creation foundation. They understood their need for redemption with God, but they had stopped preaching Christ died for your sins. But they held that creation foundation. When Paul preached to people who had not accepted that Jesus died for their sins, but they understood the creation foundation and their need for a redeeming Messiah, he didn't have to spell out the foundation. He could just preach Christ died for you, and he could reap a bountiful harvest of saved souls, because they had the foundation to understand the need for that redeeming Savior. Well, God sent over some British evangelists who teamed with a handful of God-honoring pastors And they began going out in open fields and meadows preaching Christ died for you. Because most churches slam the door in their face. They went out to open fields and meadows. God poured forth his blessing. The crowds grew to the thousands. Churches returned to preaching Christ died for you. And this led to the first great Christian awakening in the land that would soon become the United States. As all 13 colonies united as one nation under God and demanded and won back their God-given freedoms from the British through the Revolutionary War. In fact, the Liberty Bell is inscribed with Leviticus 25:10 that reads, "Proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof." I don't think they mention that in the history books, humanist history books in our schools anymore. But Jesus said, "Whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them will be likened unto a wise man who built his house upon a rock. And when the rains descended and the floods came, and it fell not because it was founded upon a rock." The rock is the non-compromised word of God. Of our founding fathers, 93% of the signers of the Declaration of Independence were Christians. 95% of the authors of the U.S. Constitution were Christians. We were never meant to be a Christian theocracy, but we were founded on Christian principles that led to the freedoms we enjoy. One of the great biblical principles put into the very Declaration of Independence was this: God created man in his own image, male and female. Men and women are created in the image of God. Now, today kids are taught we are a horrible, terrible, slave-owning nation. Actually, this nation was founded in a world full of slavery. And slaves around the world came in all colors, by the way. And we were already founded in a world full of slavery and a land full of slavery. You couldn't outlaw slavery and get 13 colonies to unite and take on the world's superpower in a war for their God-given freedoms. But in the very declaration, based on these Christian beliefs, they put in the phrase, "All men are created equal and endowed by their" who? "Creator, with certain unalienable rights." Your freedoms as American citizen come from your biblical creator. And we've been teaching the last 60 years of our citizens, since they were little kids, there's no creator. And if you wonder what in the world is going on in our nation today, I just gave you the answer. Read Romans 1:15-32. When you get home, take you 2 minutes, 15 to 32, Romans 1:15-32. Keep 1963 in mind when you read that. That's when we kick creation and prayer out of our schools, start teaching our future generations the foundation of secular atheistic humanism that they evolved without God. Read Romans 1:15-32 and keep that in mind. And you're going to say, wow, God is in total and complete control. And you also have a real good understanding of what's going on today. Well, following the Revolutionary War, the states failed to remain united. They started squabbling over tariffs and trade rights. So a constitutional convention was held in 1787. John Adams said, "Our Constitution was made for a moral and a religious people. It's wholly inadequate to the government of any other. To handle the freedoms our founding fathers gave us from our biblical creator, you have to have very high moral and ethical standards. Or you can't handle the freedoms that we've been given." It also sheds light on a lot of the problems we have today. Thomas Jefferson, our third president, was the principal author of the Declaration of Independence. As president, he attended Christian church services in the Capitol that were held in the Supreme Court buildings. He wrote the education plan for the D.C. schools using the King James Bible as a primary reading book. Hey, didn't our founding fathers understand that separation of church and state in the First Amendment? Well, actually, separation of church and state is found nowhere in the U.S. Constitution. Read the First Amendment when you get home. It's only a paragraph. And actually, you'll see we're going quite opposite of what our Constitution tells us. In fact, the main reference source of the U.S. Constitution, according to the authors of the Constitution themselves, number one reference source was the King James Bible. I don't think they teach that in school today. Well, sad to say, by the end of the 1700s, many Americans in the church had once again stopped preaching Christ died for your sins. But they still held to that creation foundation that had been corrupted and separated them from God. They still understood that need for redemption. Many Christian schools like Harvard and Yale and Princeton have become secular, like many of today's Christian schools have become. But in 1795, Yale appointed Timothy Dwight their new president, and he began urging their students to give their lives to God and serve God with their lives. Lyman Beecher was a senior that year and became a pastor. And in the 1820s, he started going out in open fields and town squares preaching Christ died for your sins. And God poured forth his blessing yet again. And the crowds grew to the thousands and churches returned to preaching Christ died for you. As we had the second great Christian awakening in this land, as we returned to being one nation under God. The Washington Memorial was begun, their foundation was laid down in 1848. Inside of the cornerstone were placed the Declaration, the Constitution, and the King James Bible. Christian engravings are found throughout that stone structure, whose cornerstone was laid down in 1848. The Capitol building was dedicated in 1858. Christian engravings are found etched into the stone walls throughout. You can't go through the Capitol building and keep your eyes open without seeing our Christian heritage on full display. The second great Christian awakening is what led the crusade to finally abolish slavery once and for all in our nation. And tens of thousands of Americans sacrificed their lives to get rid of slavery. What a great heritage our nation has. We're not told that today, are we? In fact, the battle hymn of the Republic included the words, "As Christ died to make men holy, let us die to make men free." Based on our Constitution's biblical-based principle that all men are created equal. What an awesome heritage we have. We should try teaching it sometime. At the dedication ceremony to the Washington Memorial, now the cornerstone was laid down in 1848. It wasn't completed and dedicated till 1884. The delay was due to the Civil War. And if you go to D.C., and if you do, I suggest take a Christian tour. Don't just wander around. You'll be blown away with what people can show you there. But look at the Washington Memorial. It's 545 feet tall. About a third of the way up, 160 or so feet, is where they stopped construction because of the war. After the war, when they picked up construction, they used a different colored stone. There's a clear line of demarcation in the color of the stone where after the Civil War, after tens of thousands of Americans sacrificed their lives, we finally lived up to our founding fathers' Christian-based belief that all men are created equal. Wow, what a great heritage we have. At the dedication ceremony, they put an aluminum cap, it's about 18 inches tall, on the very top of the memorial. And the east-facing side of that aluminum cap is the first thing lit by the rays of the sun every morning in Washington, D.C. On that east-facing cap, they etched in the Latin words, Laus Deo, which translate, praise be to God. The first words lit by the rays of the sun every morning in Washington, D.C. since the 1800s. Do they teach that in school today? Yeah, I didn't think so. See, our history has been stolen. Our history has been rewritten. Kids are being taught to be ashamed of America, and this is by far the greatest nation in the history of the world because we were founded by predominantly Christian men and women on predominantly Christian principles. In fact, the Supreme Court building was dedicated in 1935. Under the eastern entrance, above the eastern entrance are statues of 23 of the greatest lawmakers of all history. They're all centered around Moses, who's in the center holding the Ten Commandments. FDR told the nation in a 1941 national radio address that the Nazis are as ruthless as the communists, as the who? The communists in their denial of God. And the coming war would be between human slavery and human freedom. And America would side with human freedom, which is the Christian ideal. Never has a nation had anywhere near the freedoms our nation takes for granted because we had this Christian-based foundation. And the Bible says, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Dwight Eisenhower told the nation in 1952, the fire within the builders of America was faith in themselves as children of God. The Bible says you're children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. In fact, in the Jefferson Memorial, which is my favorite memorial, if you go to D.C., absolutely go to the Jefferson. His trust and his statements about God are found etched throughout the stone walls. One of his statements etched in the stone walls is, God who gave us life gave us liberty. Who gave us our freedoms? God. And as our nation turns our back on God, you see our freedoms dissipating at an alarming rate. But blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. And for the first 200 years of our existence as a nation, and even for 200 years prior to that, we were a blessed nation, a blessed land. We were never perfect. Oh, we were never perfect for a billionth of a second. We're made up of sinful people, only saved by the grace of God. But we were a blessed nation because as a whole, we were a God-honoring nation. In fact, Noah Webster, one of our greatest Americans, definitely our greatest educator, he wrote the first American dictionary. He wrote what was called the Blueback Speller, which was used to train up America's children for the first 150 years of our existence as a nation, when under this man's tutelage, we rose to being the greatest nation in the history of the world. And Noah said, the Christian religion is one of the first things in which all children ought to be instructed. Is that what we've been doing for the last 60 years? No, we've been doing just the opposite, haven't we? What in the world happened? Well, the successful attack on people's faith and trust in the Word of God actually started about 200 years ago, 190 years ago, when Charles Lyell published his book, Principles of Geology. It popularized the geologic column or time scale and what's known as uniformity. The processes we see today have always been the same, uniformity. The official word's uniformitarianism, if you like big words. But it just means things are uniform. If you see a rate of erosion today, they say it's always been the same, so they extrapolate backwards like at a Grand Canyon. They measure the amount of sediments coming out of the river today, and they say it's always been the same, uniformitarianism, and it took this long to carve out this big canyon. I lead tours, have for 20 years, the Grand Canyon, take about 1,000 people a year there. And I show it through a biblical view that blows away the secular misinterpretations. But the first major fruit coming from old earth beliefs, and remember, Jesus said you tell good from bad by the fruit, right? The first major fruit of these old earth beliefs that put death before Adam was, besides undermining people's faith in God's word, was Darwinian evolution. His book was published in 1859, The Origin of Species by Means of Natural Selection, or The Preservation of Favored Races in the Struggle for Life. I don't think they teach the second half of the title today. Yeah, this is a book telling us that animals, including humans, evolved to various levels. Some people are more evolved animals than lesser evolved animals. That's led to so much evil and harm. One of my teachings is the evil fruit of old earth beliefs, by the way. And this is a huge issue today, but the issue is we're teaching people they evolve to different levels. The biblical message is we're all made in the image of God. And later today, I'll explain, after lunch, I'll explain why we have different looking people groups. We don't have different races. We have one race, the human race. We can do blood transfusions, kidney transplants from people all over the world. We're all made in the image of God. We didn't evolve to different levels. I'll explain that, though, biblically. You'll see that later today. But 10 years after Darwin's book came out, Harvard appointed Charles Eliot their new president. He appointed Christopher Langdale the new dean of the Harvard Law School. These two had one thing in common. They dedicated their lives to making millions of years leading to Darwinism the new foundation for both our educational system and our legal system. In fact, Langdale introduced case law study into the legal system. It now dominates our legal system. We're no longer based on the never-changing Ten Commandments, haven't been for a long time. We're now based on case law study, that the law evolves case by case. You ever wonder why one guy does a crime and he gets 10 years in prison? Another guy does the same crime, gets out scot-free. Another guy does the same crime, gets 20 years in prison, and back. It's because now there's no foundation. The law evolves case by case, case law study. It wasn't until 1947, about 160 years after our Constitution was ratified, that the Supreme Court discovered a separation of church and state, which is nowhere in the U.S. Constitution. It actually came from a private letter Thomas Jefferson wrote to the Danbury Baptists, assuring them that the Constitution made a wall of separation. The context was to keep Christian principles in the government and keep the government out of the churches. Man, has that been turned around 180 degrees, right? But believe it or not, in 1947, when they discovered the separation of church and state, it was while ruling in favor of using federal funds to support religious school activities. Well, what in the world happened? Well, 15 years later, the law had evolved. And they used the same finding to outlaw prayer in school. And this is a year to keep in mind, 1963, this is the bellwether year, when our nation, so blessed by God, kicked him out of our schools and federal establishments. We kicked creation and prayer out of our schools, the foundation for our freedoms, the foundation for the gospel of Jesus Christ, out of our schools, and started teaching our future generations the foundation of secular atheistic communism that they had evolved over millions of years of death and suffering. Wow. 1963. Read Romans 1, 15 to 32, and keep 1963 in mind. It will blow you away. You'll be thinking, wow, God is in total control, and he's given us exactly what he said he would give us. Now, there are good and godly teachers in our public school systems. There's a lot of them. There's also some really bad ones. They're kind of come in a wide range, but there's some good Christian teachers, and we need them in there doing what they can. But you got to realize, and they know this, it's the curriculum. It's the federal curriculum that's corrupted. And they teach now our kids evolved through millions of years of death and suffering. You know, I can destroy Darwinism in 4 seconds flat, scientifically. You know, there's never been a single shred of evidence of Darwinian macroevolution having taken place. I speak on college campuses. I say this loud and I say it clear. And all the professors have to do is give one example, just one, of Darwinian change having taken place, and they would blow me right out of the auditorium. They can't do it. It never happened. In fact, there's a scientific principle, gene depletion. All micro changes within a kind are caused by the sorting or loss of genetic information. Gene pools get weaker and weaker, not better and better. And if they lose too much information, they get removed by natural selection. There's no selector picking them out, but they lose too much information, they die off. I call it God's quality assurance program. Keeps his original gene pools strong. If they kept going without being removed, within 1,500 years, everything would go extinct. God's QA program. And this is how you destroy Darwinism scientifically in 4 seconds flat. Start your watch. Gene depletion plus natural selection makes Darwinism impossible. Stop your watch. I'm sorry, that was 3 seconds flat. I try to be nice to the humanists and give them that extra second, but they've got nothing. But they own the system, and one of our teachings is the top 10 Darwinian frauds. There's 4 of them right there. Notice how their evidences of Darwinism are almost always drawings? Yeah. There's an old saying that goes like this. Darwinists are experts at drawing things that never existed to support their theory that never took place. You take away their box of crayons, they've got nothing. Because gene depletion plus natural selection makes Darwinian change impossible. I cover this in our other teachings in my book, Cost. But the Bible said, professing to be wise, they became fools. Doesn't mean they're stupid. Just means they've been fooled. We can all be fooled. And they changed the glory of the uncorruptible God, which I think is his creation, into an image made like corruptible man and birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. I think they're going to change creation into the fairy tale of Darwinian evolution that says you evolved all on your own through millions of years of death and suffering and amazingly left no evidence of it behind. You know, this is what we call humanism today. These verses are talking about idolatry. The highest form of idolatry is to think you're the most evolved, you're your own God. That's what they're teaching today. But these old earth beliefs, which these Darwinian beliefs, they have no evidence. How do they take over the system? Well, the book goes on to say it depended on an immense length of time. Millions of years is the foundation, all based on the belief there was never a global flood. A global flood wipes out every old earth belief. That's the reason it's the linchpin in the world views. No wonder the Bible says, teach no other doctrine, neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies. Do you know the Bible says don't do it? Which minister to questions rather than godly edifying. Darwinian evolution provided the foundation for communism. Communist dictator Mao Zedong listed Charles Darwin as his favorite author before exterminating 60 million Chinese citizens. Wow. I almost made a comment about the Olympics, but I'm not going to go there. I better move on before I get myself in trouble. The founder of the ACLU said communism is their goal. Their first offices were shared with the Masses newspaper in New York City. That's the largest communist newspaper in this nation. They're a communist organization. Their lawsuits include banning Christmas displays and Ten Commandments. Have their lawsuits strengthened America or weakened America? Weakened us greatly. We dedicated the Vietnam Veterans Memorial in 1982. It does not contain a single reference to God. During World War II, our government issued 17 million Bibles to military personnel around the globe. It was called the FDR Bible because on the front page there was a note from our president urging all military personnel to spend time every day reading the Word of God. The FDR Bible, 17 million. We dedicated the War's Memorial in 2004. It does not contain a single reference to God. There's a plaque in the Washington Monument talking about that aluminum cap and the words Laos Deo on top. In 2008, they removed the information about Laos Deo. At the Constitutional Convention, Ben Franklin proposed every session of Congress should begin with a prayer to the biblical God. And since 1787, every single session of Congress has started out with a prayer to God until 2008. When they opened up with a prayer to the false god of Islam. Ronald Reagan warned, without God, democracy cannot and will not long endure. If we forget we are one nation under God, we will be a nation gone under. We stand on the precipice today. On the precipice. Jesus said, everyone that hears these sayings of mine and does them not will be likened unto a foolish man who built his house upon the sand. And the rains descended and the floods came and it fell. And great was the fall of the house, built on the ever-shifting sands of man's ever-changing thoughts, ideas, and philosophies. How long do you think wokeism is going to last? A year or two? Before finally people say, this is absolutely ridiculous. But we're building on the sands. And great will be the fall of the house. The fact of the matter is, America needs another Christian revival. But before that can happen, the Christian church needs a third great awakening. Over 90% of our seminaries and colleges now teach old earth beliefs that put death before Adam. And their grads can't answer the simple question, how can there be a loving God in a world full of death and suffering? They can't answer that because they've been taught death is what brought us along. The calling of our ministry is to teach about these issues, try to wake people up and make a difference in our society as well as individuals' eternal lives. We do this through our various messages and teachings, and we'll be talking about Noah's Ark and dinosaurs during the service message. We'll be talking about science in the Bible. What I want to show you today, too, some of the things I like to say is we can believe God's word for word and cover to cover. But I also like to teach that real science is a believer's true friend. Always has been, always will be. Of the 200 or so branches of modern science, I was speaking in a high school up in Oregon a couple of years ago. Someone got me into a public high school and they brought the kids into the auditorium. And the kids just came in just cross-eyed glaring at me. Which I was kind of surprised about. I mean, I expect that in colleges, but I didn't expect that with a high school. And God just gave this to me. I just started out by saying, hey, let me ask you, how many of the branches of modern science do you think were started by Christians? None. Try 82%. 82% of the branches of modern science were started by Christians. There wouldn't even be science without Christianity. We thought there's an intelligent creator. He probably put some laws in place to govern his creation. And if we study the creation, they call it nature today, if we study the creation, we just could discover these things and put them to practice in our lives. That is what led to modern science. And that's been taken over the last 150 years by atheists and humanists. But real science has always been and is to this day a Christian's best friend. But you need to understand the difference between real operational science based on the evidence that you can test, study, and observe, and biased interpretations masquerading as science. You need to understand the difference there. And we cover these in our various resources. I'm not going to go into them right now, but you can find them outside here. I'll talk about them maybe at the end of the next session. But let me end this part with this from 2 Chronicles 7:14. And this was given to the ancient Israelites. I understand that. But I think it's the best chance we have today. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and heal their land. I think this is the best chance our nation has, especially for our children and grandchildren. Because if we continue down the road we've been on much further, and I don't think we have much further we can go, we will lose our God-given freedoms. And I'll say this. If we as a nation don't believe in our biblical creator, do we deserve freedoms from our biblical creator? No, we do not. If we will lose our God-given freedoms and the world will lose what God had used as this city upon a hill for the first 200 years of our existence as a nation. Let me end my first part with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this morning, every dear soul that's here this morning. And thank you for Pastor Joy and his desire to stand on your non-compromised word and to build the biblical foundations so we can build on the rock rather than on the sand. I hope and I pray the information we've shared this morning will be eye-opening and faith-strengthening. And I ask this in Jesus' great name. Amen.
Russ, thank you, and you have just been given a foundation, an exceptional foundation, an explanation of that as to where we are and how we got to where we are, and the predominant worldviews and the assumptions that are behind the worldviews that we see today. He just gave you that. Praise God. And I love the call for renewal, and so maybe this, a biblical worldview church is the vision, and maybe this is our moment. This is our cultural moment to really capture some of these things and lay this foundation. I just can't wait for the next session. It's just going to be so awesome. Dinosaurs and the biblical perspective of that to tie it in with the other things. And so you're going to enjoy it. So let's just take a moment. We're going to do a break. And by the way, Russ is going to be speaking two more times with a Q&A to wrap up our day together in the afternoon. But if you need to, like, get up and walk around, it's an informal setting today, okay? So while he's speaking, you feel free to get up and walk around if you need to. Go get you something to eat, come back, so on and so forth. Just feel, we want you to be here for all three sessions with and the Q&A. So just stay with us. It's going to be so well worth your time. All right, let's take a break.